is it okay that you get two sermons today? Because that needs a follow-up. Because that was awesome, Colby Jackson. Thank you for sharing that. That song teaches us that it's not enough to just say yes to the Lord Jesus and to be saved. Now, our ticket is punched and we're on our way to heaven, but here's the glorious thing that God offers us. Now, we could stay there. We could stay in that salvation moment and just hide ourselves under a bowl and not progress anymore, but here's what the Lord God offers us. He offers us so much more than that. Yeah, I'm right here, and I've got a long way to go. And isn't it beautiful that we have a long way to go? Because every step, every day of our life, as we give ourselves more and more over to the Lord Jesus Christ, we become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we could stay at the foot of the cross and receive salvation, but there's so much more. The Lord Jesus Christ would say, I have more because I have life abundant waiting for you. The more you lean into me, the more you will find life the way I intended you to have it. Remember when we were walking in the Garden of Eden? That's what I want for you, to experience you. And it's up to us whether or not we are going to grow. I've come a long way, but I've got a long way to go. And isn't it glorious that we have the privilege to grow in the Lord, and it's only because of God's great grace that we can do that. Thank you for that reminder, Colby Jackson. Thank you so much. Sermon one done. Ready for sermon two? Oh, congratulations to our 9 winners. Masterpiece. 19 points, which means that Susan Wells are blowing you all out of the water right now. Let's start with a definition. Masterpiece. When we think of craftsman or craftsmanship, it could be a great artist, it could be a composer, it could be a singer, it could be a chef, it could be an author, it could be an architect, it could be anyone who is skilled at what they do, a craftsman that creates with their hands or their heart. Works of great art. But every craftsman has the piece de resistance, the culminating work of their craft, and it would be referred to as their masterpiece, the greatest thing that they have ever produced or written or composed. But a masterpiece has to be created by a master craftsman. Somebody that is skilled and gifted and with great intentionality and with purpose and with heart, they produce the culmination of all of their abilities and skills, their masterpiece. So let's have a little game. Some of you are very artsy, and you're going to know the answers to some of these. We're going to have a little slideshow, and as the pictures come on the slide. There's 4 famous paintings that you're going to see. Just shout out the artist, and for extra credit, you can shout out the actual name of the painting. Who thinks that they're going to do well with these? These are 4 of the most famous painters of all time, artists. Debbie, were you pointing at your husband? Is he an art connoisseur? Okay, well, we're going to learn. Steve, do you want to come and teach us this morning? So I think they're going to start with the easiest, and we're going to work to the hardest. So you first, artist's name, and then you can yell out the name of the painting. I think the first one is very simple. Susan is going to start us off here with picture number 1. This is a true masterpiece. Oh, no. It is the artist. It is correct. The artist is Da Vinci. But we are very cultured today because we had, you know, a high-class gift. It is the Mona Lisa, correct? But it is not Leonardo da Vinci. We have to say it correctly. Yes, thank you. He is Italian. It is Leonardo da Vinci. So on 3, we will say it correctly. 1, 2, 3. Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci. Nothing but class here at Mount Zion. Amen. Some of you only know Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Is that correct? There was an OG, Leonardo, who painted that picture. Okay, picture number two. Wow, very good. Wait a minute, I can't hear you. I only have one ear. Oh, is it too soon? Is it too soon to talk about that? Okay. Vincent van Gogh painted this, his masterpiece called Starry Night. And after he went crazy and cut off a piece of his ear, this is actually what he saw looking out the window of his asylum, believe it or not. Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. Next one. Who is? Hold on. Is it for reals? The ear? It's not the ear.
You don't want to know.
It's not the ear. Wow. Big fan right here. Okay, what's this one? Say it again, really loud. Night Watch, by whom? Rembrandt, von Rhine. Rembrandt. Now, what's interesting about this painting is it was named Night Watch, not by Rembrandt, but by people that enjoyed this painting because they assumed that this is an image that was at night. It is actually not. It's not depicted that way, although it looks that way. Rembrandt's masterpiece, Night Watch, is the renowned example of Rembrandt's brilliance of using light as a medium. Some people believe that because the light is portrayed so brilliantly upon the characters in this painting, that they get the sense that the characters are moving. This is long before Harry Potter came along. That is Night Watch by Rembrandt. The last one. Pablo Picasso. Español. What is the name of that painting? Anybody know? It's actually Guernica. It is a name of a town in Spain. And this is Picasso's rendition of that. Now, yeah, was he crazy? Yeah, I don't know. Him and Vincent van Gogh. This is Pablo Picasso's masterpiece. Extra credit for you, Alicia. Guernica. This is called Guernica. All right, thank you, Susan. I think it is easy to say that these four artists are craftsmen, and they created amazing, beautiful works of art. And these are the greatest achievements of their heart and their hands and their soul. These masterpieces. Now, here's what I want to convey with you today, that we are God's masterpiece. We, and I don't mean collectively we, however, that's where we're going to start. You see, when God created, and oh, by the way, we find that in the book of John, that it is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the creator. When God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, created over the course of 6 days, He created heaven and earth and all of the animals and everything that crawls upon the ground. And each day, He would look at His creation, and you remember what He would say? It is good. It is good. Have you been to the Grand Canyon before? Have you been to Yellowstone? Have you been to places that you look out upon God's grandeur and it just takes your breath away? And you know that God is right when He says, it is good. But then, He created His masterpiece. He created man and woman. He created humankind. In His own image, He created us. And the Scripture says it this way. Once he had created man and woman, when he surveyed all of creation, he no longer said it was good, but he said something else. Do you know what he said? It is very good. There was an adjective. Oh, it is good. But he said it is very good. Because he stood back and he looked at his masterpiece. And he realized that from his heart and from his soul, this was the culmination, his greatest achievement was mankind. We collectively are God's masterpiece. And church, that is great news. But here's the trap we might fall into, because I think it's easy to just look at us, all of humanity. Yes, I understand. Humankind is God's greatest masterpiece, and well, that includes me, I guess, and 8 billion others, because now we are inhabiting the third rock from the sun with 8 billion other people. And it's easy to think of us as just one giant group that God poured into, and it kind of takes the intimacy out of it. We are His masterpiece, collectively. I believe it's true that God loves us all the same because we, all of us, are His great masterpiece. But also, we need to understand that it's just not collectively that He looks at us and He says, "This is my greatest masterpiece." You see, I believe that He looks at each one of us individually and says that this is my greatest masterpiece. That one and that one are my greatest masterpiece. I think humanity kind of shares in this problem. You see, when they look in the mirror and they see that person facing them, the man in the mirror, I think that they're tempted to have two thoughts, and they're both wrong. I think most of humanity falls into this, but I think both perspectives are wrong. Now, I think some look in the mirror, and when they see the person staring back at them, they immediately think, "Yeah, that guy is awesome. Every hair, perfect. I love you, man." That's a warped perspective. But some people have that perspective when they look at the man in the mirror. But here's the problem. Most people, when they look at the man in the mirror, they don't like that person. Now, I don't know where you are right now. And there's so many of us that life has just beaten us down. And maybe we don't feel good about ourselves. And we're caught in this season of lamenting about past mistakes and failures. Here's what I want you to know and understand. All fall short of the glory of God. That is the reality that we understand. There's only been one sinless life lived, and that was by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all failed. On our best day, we're a pile of filthy rags. That's who we are. So when we see the man in the mirror, we're looking at someone who has failed. But the Lord God would say, "I want you to see you differently than you normally see you." Because the enemy wants you to see you with shame and guilt and failure. Like your life doesn't matter and it doesn't have value. And this morning, the whole purpose of this message is for you to understand that you are God's great masterpiece. You were not created in a factory with a cookie cutter where we're all the same. We're not the same. We're all different. Look around. We look different, but it's not just the physical appearance that I'm talking about, because that really is so superficial, it just doesn't matter. What Satan would say, no matter how we look in the mirror, he would say, "You are a failure, and you have no value, and you are useless, and God is done with you. You have failed Him over and over and over. You are not a masterpiece. You're a piece of garbage is who you are." And that's what Satan wants you to see when you look in the mirror. You've been gifted. You've been made in His image. None of us are the same. You have intrinsic values that come from the Lord God Himself. You've been given a unique personality. You have different passions. You have different positions in life that are going to have opportunity to glorify Him differently than somebody else will. You have been created on purpose, for a purpose, to glorify Him and to make His name known. Satan would say, that person in the mirror is an awful person, full of failure, shame, and guilt. The Lord God would say, I created you with intentionality, with my own hands and my own heart. That person in the mirror, I love more than you can possibly imagine. And I just want you to see what I see. Now, that shouldn't bring about pride, but you need to have that perspective that no matter who you are and what you've done, the Lord God wants you to be free from that. And He wants you to see, I am a child of the Lord God Almighty. I've been created by Him, for Him. And I have great purpose. And I have great value. And it doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. And it doesn't matter what I'll ever do. It doesn't change who I am and how He sees me. Because He loves me more than I can ever understand. I think if people really had this perspective, I think it would solve so many problems people have. People are trapped in shame and guilt, and the Lord God doesn't want us to be there. You're valued more than you could imagine. You are all beautiful. You are all individual masterpieces of the Lord God. If you have your scripture, you can turn with me to the book of Psalm. Chapter 139, this is so beautiful the way King David writes this because he understands this idea. He understands that he wasn't created in a factory. We're not cookies cut out to all look and be the same. He understands that he is created intentionally by an intentional God. And he says these words so beautifully and so poetically. And I want us to just hear these words again. If you have your word, you can turn with me to 139, the book of Psalm. I'm going to start with verse 13. You can stand. You can raise your hands, close your eyes, whatever you want to do. But this is the reading of the word of the Lord God Almighty. King David says this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Praise be to the Lord for the reading of His word. King David knew something. See, he had a healthy perspective. I think when he looked in the mirror, he saw what God wanted him to see. An individually crafted masterpiece. You see, God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't create failure. He created you, and you are perfect. Perfectly created for how He wanted you to be. King David describes it this way. You were created by God's own hand with intimacy, woven and knit together. That doesn't happen in a cookie factory. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. And it doesn't matter what you've ever done in your life. You are a masterpiece of the Lord God Almighty. That's who you are. That's how He saw the way the Lord looks at him. And he realized that I have been created for a greater purpose than me. I've been created by God intimately, different from anyone else. And the same is true for you. Each of you are different, but perfect. Van Gogh or Rembrandt or Da Vinci could not have painted anything as beautiful as who you are. You are perfect. Lord God would want you to see the way He sees you when you look in the mirror. Satan would want you to see you covered in shame and filth and guilt. But the Lord God would say, I sent my Son so that you can be free from seeing you that way. I want you to see you covered in righteousness. And I want to leave you with one verse. Just like Rembrandt took a regular painting and he had brilliance of light that really made that a masterpiece, I want you to internalize these words by the Apostle Paul that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to read this verse to you because I want you to have a perspective that if it's difficult for you to see yourself this way, the lengths that God went to so that you could see not filth and shame and guilt, but righteousness, I want you to feel this. This is humbling. Lean into this. This is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. It's the last verse, verse 21. He's speaking about Jesus. He says, God made him who had no sin to be sin. Can we just stop right there for a second? God sacrificed his Son. He made him who had no sin to become sin. It's one thing when we hear words like, oh, he bore our sins on a cross, and oh, that should speak to us. But think about it differently. Think about it the way Apostle Paul is describing it. He didn't just bear our sins, he became our sins. God the Father turned his face away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no wonder that the Lord cried out, Father, why have you? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? He became sin. That is the length that God went to because he wanted you to know that you are his masterpiece. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. You see, because you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when God sees that person you stare at in the mirror, he doesn't see filth and guilt and shame. He sees the righteousness of his Son that he sent to the cross so that you could experience life in the full. You are a masterpiece. I want you to live in that. I want you to believe that and know that. Because whatever you're going through, whatever might be tormenting you, and we all have past mistakes, and we all have things that we just carry with us. God wants you to be free from that. You are collectively the greatest thing that he's ever done. But he didn't stop there. With intentionality, he created each one of you differently. And every time he created you, he probably thought, this is my pinnacle. This is my masterpiece. No, this is my masterpiece. No, this is my masterpiece. Time and time again, perfection. Perfection, perfection. And he wants you to see you that way because that brings you life abundant and life in the full. Amen? You are the piece de resistance, his masterpiece. Sister Danessa is going to close us. And this morning, I want us to celebrate who we are in Christ. The Lord God Almighty went to great lengths so you could look at the man in the mirror and not see you the way Satan wants you to see you, but rather, you are my masterpiece. Danessa? I hope that we've painted for you a perspective that God wants you to have. But the reality is, there is shame and guilt. And then we do see sometimes accurately in the mirror. We're going to sing this song one more time again. And Brooke is going to come and sign it for us. And I want to give you the opportunity to be free forevermore from sin and shame and guilt. If this is your moment to come home, the Lord God says all you have to do is to believe and confess. The Apostle Paul says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a promise. Belief and confession is all it takes. But those aren't just idle words. When you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's not just applying a title upon him. That is you declaring your allegiance to him. Yes, you are Lord, but I choose to make you my Lord. And maybe today, as we sing this song, if you want to respond to the amazing grace of the Lord God Almighty, and say, yes, today I choose you as my Lord, my Savior. I believe in you, and I want you to be mine. That all it takes is a moment. But it is a moment that separates heaven from hell. It is. It's a choice. You've been given the freedom to choose or not. But it is your choice. If you need to come to the altar just to say, Father, I recommit my life to God. Recommit myself to you. That altar's waiting. Or maybe you need to come to the altar to say, finally, I want to see myself the way you see me. I'm tired of what I'm looking at. I want to see me different because I want to be different. I make you my Lord. And I trust in you. And I love you. I follow you. And I believe in you. That's all it takes. You can come. Let this song and the words of this song captivate your heart. Let this moment connect you to the Lord God, because it is a single moment that separates 40, 50, 60, 80, 19 years of life from an entire eternity. But the choice is ours. Are you ready to come home? The choice is yours. We have some at the altar, so as we leave the house, we'll leave with respect. But when God sees you, he says, that is very good. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, covered in the righteousness of Christ, the Lord God would say, my masterpiece. That is how he wants you to see you. Because that's who you are. Church, you're sent.